Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Why don't you stand up on your feet? We are so grateful to be in the house of the Lord today. Almost Christmas. Everybody excited for Christmas? Amen. I love Christmas, and we're gonna worship the Lord and thank Him for His coming. Before we do that, why don't you just turn to somebody and tell them it's good to see them. Shake their hand, give them a high five, and then we'll get started and sing together. Praise the Lord.
Sweetly singing all the praise. glory to the King, yeah.
Praise Him. Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm up here. If you wonder where that voice is, that's not God. That's not God. My wife thinks it is, but that's not God. So, hey, church family, let's lift our hands and welcome the Lord here today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. And this is the day that you have made for your people, for our church. And may your will be done, which we know is good for us, and it glorifies your name. In Jesus' name, everybody shout amen and amen. You maybe have already done it, but it wouldn't be hurt to just turn around and tell somebody Merry Christmas if you would, and then you can be seated. How are you? I'm doing awesome. No, I don't blame you. That's all right. Well, praise the Lord. Some of you will have to look up onto the screen to see what's going on today. But Kaylin is here, and you can see her head. There is a body with that head. And these guys worked real hard last night to make sure that at least this part was cleared out for the baptismal today. But if you're visiting, I need you to understand that what we're doing today is a part of our worship. Jesus commanded once we accept Him into our lives that we're to go public with our faith. There is no private faith. It's only a public faith. And Christ died for us publicly, and He calls us to live for Him publicly. And so this is what we're doing. And Kaylin is saying that she's accepted Christ into her life, and she wants everybody in her family to know, without question, who's her Lord and who's her Savior. And I want you to help me. Let's let Kaylin know that we're so proud of her and her testimony. Kaylin's parents, grandparents, great-grandparents are part of this church. And I'm so... How old are you, Kaylin? 14 years old. And how many know the first 14 years of your life are the best years to serve the Lord? And then it gets better after that, all along there. I want you to let Kaylin know that you're proud of her as we baptize her today. Kaylin, because you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want everybody to know that you are a daughter of the Most High King, I now baptize you. I'm so proud of Martine. This is Carl and Sheila Scott's daughter. Comes to us from Haiti. So proud of Martine. She's made some major adjustments in life. Going through winters in Garland. Now a freshman at Bible College. Getting water baptized today. Isn't this awesome what the Lord will do? Isn't it great what the Lord will do? What does Christ mean to you, Martine?
Well, I thank God for what He did for me because I grew up in an orphanage. I grew up in a Christian school with my grandma, and we were living in a small apartment. And then one day, my grandma decided to give me away for an orphanage because she doesn't have anything to feed me. But since that, God been paying my school and been taking care of me. And then the orphanage that I wasn't take care of me very well. Sometimes they beat me up. And then God knew my birth parents wasn't going to be able to take care of me. And God sent those beautiful parents, Carl and Sheila. They been take care of me and bring me pay for my school bill. And they've been taking care of me. And I'm so excited to see what God has for me. And I'm so excited to follow Him for the rest of my life.
That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, I don't know what to say. That's just, really, that's incredible. And the joy that you have and the spirit that you have. How old were you when your grandmother took you to the orphanage?
I was 7 or 8 years old.
7 or 8 years old. And then you went to this place and you didn't know anybody. And then you came to a place in, called Maine where you didn't know anybody. But God has always known you. And he's got his hand on you. And it's never going to end. Grateful for that, aren't you? Isn't that awesome? What a testimony. That's powerful. Really powerful. And now Martine is training for the ministry. And who knows what doors the Lord will open for her to reach people, maybe in Haiti as well. Isn't that, stretch your hand towards Martine, if you would, please. Lord, we thank you for your blessing that's on Martine's life. Today, she's come to make a public declaration of her part of your family and that you're her Savior. Jesus, we cannot doubt for a moment that you've handpicked her from all of the people on this planet. And God, you're going to use her in mighty ways. May this baptismal today launch her to a greater power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. All right, Martine. Martine, because you've allowed Christ to adopt you into his family, and you want everybody to know that you're not ashamed of what he's done for you, I now baptize you. Praise God. Hey, Alvin. How you doing, Alvin? Are you nervous?
A little bit.
A little bit. That's all right. You're going to be wet and nervous in a minute, so just get used to it. You have a testimony, what the Lord's done for you?
I've come so far, I think, in just the last few years. If you just could have known me just a few years back, you'd have seen the differences in me already. And the fact that I'm here again in front of the congregation and as for a second time in as many months, it's got to be proof to you that, that I've changed. But having the Lord in my life has made me different. It's changed me. I have feelings. I feel myself. I feel my feelings. It's incredible. I'm just so glad that I found this place, and I'm glad that they took me in and let me come here, and I'm glad that he's smiled on me. My life has changed in great ways in recent years, and it's a wonderful feeling. I don't know what else to say. I'm just thankful that I could be here, and I thank you for coming.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Come on over here, Alvin. You had any idea the great things that God has done in Alvin's life and without Christ what his life would be? But with Christ, you still yet to see what God all has for you. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. All right, Alvin. Based on your profession of faith that you've made Jesus your Lord and you've allowed him to bury the old life so that he could replace it with a brand new one. And you're not ashamed of that. And you want everybody to know that today. I now baptize you in Jesus. Praise God. I want you to meet David Eau Claire. Dave's got a phenomenal testimony. Usually sit him sitting right down here, in the front row. He's a front row believer. He gets first class seats. First class. Tell the folks what God's done for Dave.
Well, he's gave me a new life. I fell away from him many years ago. I used to be a real believer in Jesus. Then I walked away when I was a young man. And then something happened in my life, later on in life, and I ended up going into prison. And the Lord has carried me through ever since the day that I walked into those doors. And I just believe in the Lord as I have had a alcohol and drug problem. And I had a picked up my 5-year chip just a while back last weekend. And I've lost someone real dear to me, and if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be back out in the streets drinking and drugging again. that the Lord's brought me so far. That wow. I've lost a couple other uncles. The Lord's also put on my heart to be able to go into the jails and institutions and prisons and let them know how He has worked for me and can also work for them.
That's fantastic. Wow. Wow. Now every day you'll see David serving on Sundays, serving in the morning, serving in the afternoon, doing the work of God. I'm so proud of you, grateful. And how many believe God will open great doors to people in those prisons and those places where Jesus will not be held out in Jesus' name? Amen. All right. Dave, because you've allowed the power of Christ, the power of the gospel, to not just free you from the past, but bring you into the family of God, you believe that the old Dave's buried. And the new Dave is alive. Amen. I now baptize you. Step right up here. Step right up. People can see you. How many of you love Mark and Doreese Washburn so very, very much? This is a phenomenal thing that God has done in their lives. And this is a very important moment for all of us and for them. And are you going to be the spokesman, Mark? You're going to try. I'm going to let you tell the story.
Doreese and I had both gone to Sunday school and church when we were young and have always believed in God. In 2013, it started out good for us. Our son Brandon proposed to the love of his life, Cassie. And she said yes, and they began planning for a June 2014 wedding. We found out that our daughter Brooke and her husband Levi were expecting our first grandchild, and then found out they were going to have twins. We were very excited about their arrival. And then in May, Brandon was diagnosed with cancer, and we were crushed. He had chemo treatments through the summer, and we thought it was going well. The twins were born healthy, and we were happy and felt blessed. Then shortly after they were born, we found out Brandon's chemo treatment had not worked. He went to Boston for a second opinion, and they decided he needed to do a high-dose chemo. We were on an emotional roller coaster with the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It was difficult to watch what the chemo did to Brandon's body as he went through the two rounds of high-dose chemo. It was during this time that Brandon started reading the Bible, a study Bible that a friend of ours had given him, and a friend from school, Tracy Kennedy, also connected with Brandon. Doreese was going to Boston during the week, and Cassie went on the weekends. In the end of November, Brooke and Levi's house caught fire. Everyone got out safely and the fire was put out, but they had to move in with us while the house was repaired. To say our life was chaotic was a little understatement. We found out that in early January that the chemo didn't work. They wanted to operate, but had to wait until February for his strength to recover. They operated on February 13th, and we were told that it went very well. But a week later, we were told the surgery didn't work, didn't take care of the problem, and we were out of options, and they gave him about 2 months to live. On that day, Brandon told us,
On that day, Brandon told us that the only thing that he wanted was for us to get involved in church and to read the Bible. The most important thing for him was that he spent eternity with his family in heaven. Tracy invited Brandon to come to church in early March, and Brooke and Levi and Mark and I went with them. He answered the altar call that day. He was baptized 11 days later at his home. He wanted to be baptized in a church, but his health wouldn't allow that. But he did get his wish to be baptized.
He was able to do the one thing he really wanted to do, which was marry his true love, Cassie. His health deteriorated quickly, and he passed away on March 19th, surrounded by loving friends and family. Although we miss him each and every day, we live with God's promise that the separation is temporary, and we will see him again. This promise has brought peace to our lives. Through all of the heartache, we know that we are still blessed. We now have four grandchildren. Brooke and Levi are raising them in church, and we know someday our family will be all together again. And I just want to thank the church for all they've done.
If it wasn't for Jesus, where would our hope be today? But because of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, you can talk your talk, but at some point, walk in the walk. At best, this life will end, and you'll step into eternity. And the greatest thing that can happen in your life, and the best time for it to happen is today, is to know that when this life has come to an end, and it will, that you're ready for heaven. And it was the Holy Spirit that got a hold of Brandon's heart, used people in this church. It was a miraculous event. We don't have every answer to every detail, but we do know that the God that holds our tomorrow holds our hand. And I want you guys to know that we love you so very much. I don't think that you realize the impact that your faith has on this entire community, not just on this church, but on this entire area. Me in this tank. And they're humble before they come to Christ. No, I don't think Mark was destined to be on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list by any means. I don't know what his hunting habits are, but other than that, I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't have mentioned that, but we're in the tank. But I want you guys to know, I love you so much, and this church loves you, and their daughter and son-in-law is going to get water baptized next. But I want everybody that appreciates the faith of Mark and Doris Washburn to let them know the greatest way that you know how, that their faith has not gone in vain, that it's affected us, and we love them and we appreciate them, and we're in their corner until we all get to see Brandon someday in that glorious place in heaven. I wish you'd let them know somehow right now. Thank you. You can't see because of the wall that's built here, but Doris has a picture of their son right on that pin right there. Handsome boy. Handsome boy. It's a good thing you married a pretty woman. I can tell you that. There is a God in heaven where our faith is strengthened by that. I'm teasing. These guys love to tease. But all right. Mark, let me start with you. Mark, your testimony is without question. And you've definitely allowed what the Holy Spirit wanted through all of this, is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you're not ashamed of what He's done for you, I now baptize you. Praise God. And Darice, because you've allowed Christ to give to you, the greatest possession you have now is hope. And you want everybody to know that you've made a public decision. And someday you'll walk publicly the streets of gold with your boy again. I now baptize you. Praise God. How many are glad God doesn't leave any doubt to our eternal security? God leaves no doubt. There's no room for it. Praise God. All right. One more couple. Levi and Brooke. They really... Would you pick her up so that people can see her? Who's the spokesman? Or maybe they're pointing at each other. Uh-oh.
It's a little tough to follow, but, you know, we've been together a long time, and we've been through a lot together. And seeing my little brother go through health issues and praying to God way back then to save him, and he did, and Zach still battles today, but he's doing good. And
I think people know Zach Nickerson is who we're talking.
Yeah, and so then, you know, of course, when Brandon got sick, he invited us, and it was really him who didn't want the cancer to end our family and to bring us all here and to have us all be saved and baptized will mean a lot to him and to us.
Good. And how many more children are on the way?
None
right now.
I say none for a while.
No sooner than 9 months, then, in essence, right? No sooner than 9 months. What a wonderful family and beautiful children. And we're so proud of you guys. So very, very proud of you. And they're really the real deal, genuine people that just in a wonderful part of our church family. I think you ought to let them know that we're grateful for their faith today. All right. Some of you. I don't think... Like, you didn't grow up in church, like going to Sunday school every all.
We went to Sunday school when we were little, at the Corinth Methodist Church and stuff. But we hadn't gone for a long time, and you know, through high school and college and stuff, didn't really come at all. So, but yeah, we started coming in 2014 and haven't stopped since.
Yeah. Now I don't say that because I don't want to throw on the past, but I just. This has been a tremendous addition for you, huh? I mean, how has it changed your family? Do you guys ever fight anymore? Are the kids perfect now? Is there no issues?
No, it's not perfect, but it's been such a blessing, especially raising young children. I own my own business, so the stress and everything and being able to put it on God and believe in Him, and He's always blessed us and always provided for us, and it means a lot, and it's been such a blessing to come here and to have this church.
That's awesome. The ripple effect, you'll see it. You're seeing it now, but it'll get stronger and stronger. All right, Levi. If you go down, I'll come back and get you. Levi, because you're unashamed. Christ died for you publicly. Provided salvation for you publicly. And now you publicly want everybody to know that you've accepted this wonderful gift of salvation. I now baptize you. Because you believe that Christ has done away with the past and has given you a brand new hope, a brand new life, one that is strong for this life and hope for the next. And you want everybody to know that you're on your way to heaven. I now baptize you. I think we should stand together and give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Would you? Let's all just give God the best praise, the best honor today. We thank you, Lord. Come on, let's praise Him good. If He can do it for this family, He can do it for yours. He can do it for those of you online. Let's magnify God together today. Praise God.
It is that you would take.
and worship the God who's bigger, the God who's stronger and mightier than anything else in this place. Hallelujah. To water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Sing, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is
He's healer, awesome in power.
Awesome in power, our God. Into the darkness you shine. No one like you.
Oh, not like him.
Come on, let me hear you shout it. That our God is greater.
Say it.
Our God is greater. Our God is strong.
He's higher than any
other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God.
Oh, our God.
Our God. Our God is greater. God is stronger. God, you are higher.
Oh, I'm so much higher, Lord.
Our God is healer. Awesome in power.
Our God.
Our God.
Oh, we worship. Hallelujah.
Maybe you're 14 and you've really not done a whole lot wrong, but you want to say, today is the day that I'm going to serve the Lord and I want to show everybody today's your day. Maybe you got some family issues and you need a family. I believe God is here for you today. Maybe you're just parents trying to figure out how to do it. God is your helper. Whatever you need, He's here for you. I know that Christmas time is a time of miracles. Isn't that what we celebrate, really? That God would send His Son to us, no matter what we need, that He could come in and help. Well, I just want to remind a couple hundred people in Charleston, Maine, whatever you need, my God is in the house today to do a miracle. He's here. He breaks addictions. Amen. He restores hope. Amen. He gives healing to bodies. He gives direction. He supplies all of our needs, all of them. So whatever your need is, I just want to just take about 30 seconds and let's thank the one who can meet the needs that in the house today. So just a minute, Charleston, but raise your hand and let's take a minute to thank the God who's in this house that loves every person here. Let's just take a minute and verbalize it today as a church. Lord, we just want to celebrate You. We've come to know, we want to recognize that You're in the house. Holy Spirit, there are some people that I don't know here, but I pray that before they leave today, they know that You are with them, that You're for them, that You can turn their life around. In the name of Jesus, give somebody hope today for eternity. Give somebody comfort, somebody strength, somebody peace, and somebody hope for their future today. And we thank You for it, Jesus' name. Amen. Will you just tell about three people? God is in the house today. And you may be seated. He's in the house today. He's in the house today. Now sit down. Come on. Come on, Dad. Sit down. Stop talking. You know, He always told me not to talk in church, but I notice some usher needs to catch up with that man over there. That just really did something in my spirit today. I don't know about you, but did it just mess you up? Well, if you didn't, then you need Jesus. So there's a lot of things going through my mind, but that's the better word to say. I just want to say that we have a couple things going on. How many were here last night? Wow. Wow. Can you just say wow? Wow. Amazing. I think one of the best we have ever had. Amazing. I had nothing to do with it. Nothing. Except the candles, which, you know, doesn't take a lot of skill. So I just want to say wow. So when you leave today after church, I want you to actually connect with a few people and say, listen, come with me tonight. Share it on Facebook. The house had so many visitors here last night, and what a representation of meeting Jesus last night. The joy, amen? So if you were not here, do not miss it tonight. Do not miss it. And church family, you did so good at bringing people. I just want to, wow, you did amazing. And tonight, just walk around and say, hi, I am, nice to have you here. Okay? Be a little friendly there, church. Good job. Good, that's just a little, there's so many visitors, I want them all to come back. It was just amazing, amazing. So that's set tonight. And next Sunday, how many know what next Sunday is? Christmas Eve, not just somebody in a red suit coming. I mean, there's like, it's real. It's Christmas Eve. And we're going to have a service next Sunday at 10:30. It will be our only service that day. And we're going to have all the children in the service with us. We're going to have Ignite with us. It's going to be a family service. And you do not want to miss it. It's just going to be a great, great, great service. So ushers, if you want to come, and we're going to have a time of giving. Pastor and I were meeting this morning about the service a little bit, and we just want to say thank you for being so faithful in your giving all year. You have been amazing in your giving, and we just want to say thank you. You know, tithing isn't the end of your race, right? When it says you finish the race, it's not the last thing you want to do. When you trust God, when you start the race with God, this is just part of it, tithing, right? It's just part of it. And when you start running the race with God and you can trust Him with your finances, He can bless your business. He can help your business. He can just meet all of your needs. This is just one of the many needs that He can help with. And we're just so thankful for your tithing and your giving and what you do every week. And we just want to say, Charleston Church, wow, you are a giving, giving church. Now, if you haven't, I have something I'm supposed to share that he told me, but I don't see it on my notes, so he's not out here. I apologize, Pastor Ward. Maybe he is very close. He's always listening. Yes, yes. Project 18. Yes, if you haven't given to Project 18, make sure you give it today. We're going to do more projects next year in 2018 than we have ever done, and we're excited about it, and we want you to be a part of it. And if you are giving and you want it on your tax form this year, then you need to give, make sure it's this year, okay? So after January, we can't lie and say if you decide. You got to do it today or next Sunday, amen? So that's good. You know, we're try not to lie. It's not so good. So we're just believing for great things for the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. So will you just pray with me that the Lord will bless today and the Lord will bless this evening service too, okay? Lord, we just thank you for that you have done so many great things in this church in 2017. Lord, we're just so thankful for what you are doing in this area. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I know, God, the plans that you have for this church and this community and the different missions outreaches. I believe, God, your hand is on every one of them. And I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be on them. I pray that your blessing would be on the families that are here today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you just help every person here. We thank you, Lord, that you're a giving God in every area. And we thank you, Lord, that this church is a giving church. We thank you. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know that you can go ahead and get the offering. We've been talking about the first Wednesday, and that will start in the new year. How many just need a little boost in the middle of the week? We're going to kind of have a Sunday on a Wednesday. So there will be nursery, there will be Ignite, there will be youth, there will be everything. On one Wednesday a month, that will be our first Wednesday. And I just want to let you see this video that will explain a little bit about the great things that are coming up in the new year.
There'll be something going on for everybody that night. Nursery, Kids on the Move, Ignite, Soul Fire is going to be a fantastic, fantastic way to start your month. Amen? Let me just get right into what I believe God wants me to share with you before we go our separate ways this afternoon and get back here tonight. And that is this thought that has been on my mind. When God likes to lose. When God likes to lose. How many of you don't mind losing? Okay. How many of you hate to lose? A competitive bunch. And so those of you, when I make that statement, it probably jars you to think that God would enjoy losing. But there are several episodes throughout the scripture that we find that there are times that God likes to lose. Here are just a couple. How about Jacob? Not Jacob Bean, but I mean Jacob in the Bible. He had been a very shifty, conniving, self-serving guy. I mean, he had great agendas, but small conscience. If you ever got involved in a business deal with Jacob, you wanted to have at least three lawyers to read over the fine print in the document. I mean, he was a greasy. You could just see him like got a card up his sleeve. He's got a plan in the back of his mind that when this deal's done, you're going to lose, and he's going to win big, and he's going to make you feel good about it. And the Bible says that he was running for his life because his character was not what it needed to be. His poor character was jeopardizing his life. And the Bible says one night that he got into a wrestling match with God. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but I have a strong feeling that God was the favored winner in that battle. I don't know if it was, when I was a kid, we used to do pinochle wrestling. How many of you have ever done that? You grab a guy's hands and you twist until the other guy says uncle. And I don't know, but somehow some kind of encounter came between Jacob and God. And Jacob said, I want you to bless me and I want you to change me. And God said, I don't want to do it. You don't wrestle with somebody who's got the same desire that you have. You wrestle somebody who has an opposite desire than you have. But the Bible says that as day began to break, God said, all right, Jacob, this time I'm okay with losing. You win. And God says, I'll change your character, I'll change your destiny, I'll change your situation. Today I want to tell somebody here today that no matter what you're going through with your past, that God wants to lose because your destiny is a poor one, but God wants to change your destiny and give you a good one by changing who you are. God lost when Abraham was praying over a city. You see, he had brought his nephew Lot on this long journey, and Lot, when he found Abraham, was broke. But the longer Lot's hung around his uncle, the more prosperous Lot became. But like what happens to many people, when Lot got prosperous, he forgot who helped him in his time of need. Come on, shake your head like this if you know I'm telling the truth. And when Abraham's business and Lot's business began to get so big and so much power that the businesses began to fight, Abraham said to Lot, look, there are two places for you to go. You can either stay here in this barren, dry land, or you can go down in that valley where there's all kinds of greenery and there's life. And Lot left his uncle in the dry place and went to the living place. That place was called Sodom and Gomorrah. And God told Abraham, I'm going to destroy that city. Now, a lot of people think that God was only going to destroy the city because of immorality or perverted sexual activity. But the Bible states very clearly that was only one of the sins that were being committed. There were a lot of things going on in that city that made God say, I'm going to destroy this city because it's destroying people. When Abraham found that out, he said to God, I know what you want to do, but would you spare the city for 50 people? And God's like, sure, I know the people. There's not 50 there. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? And God's like, no problem. No problem. There aren't that many people there. I've already counted how many righteous people are in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham puts him up against the wall and he says, how about 10? And God says, all right, Abraham, you win. I lose. I'll spare judgment until those people can leave. God at times likes to lose. How about Hezekiah? He was the king over Israel, a righteous king. But for one reason or another, Isaiah was told by God to tell Hezekiah, you're going to die. God said, the king will die. And so when Isaiah sent that message to Hezekiah, who actually had been sick, the Bible says he's laying in his bed and he turns over and looks at the wall. Many writers have wondered, what did he say? I think he said,
hello, wall.
I heard one person say, when Hezekiah looked at the wall, all he could see was God. Sometimes when you're facing a situation that to everybody else is inevitable and it seems like it can't change, how many have ever been in a dark moment that you couldn't see anything and then all of a sudden all you could see was God? Mark and Derice, Levi and Brooke, they were in a moment. Cassie, they were in a moment that all they could see was darkness. But in the midst of their darkness, all they could see was God. Come on, somebody. And when Hezekiah looked over at that wall, he cried, God, I know you said that I'm not going to live, but I want more time. And God said, okay, you win. I'll give you 15 more years. Are you getting the point? There are times that God wants to lose. We celebrate a season that God lost. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 6, that though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Verse 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Verse 8. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Stop right there. Jesus Christ, as I've told you before, did not begin his life 2,000 years ago. His life was in existence long before time began. John chapter 1 states very clearly that Jesus, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has always been in existence. Always been in existence. Where he lived, the streets were made of gold. Walls were made of jasper. The foundation made of rubies. Walls 1,400 miles long. The gates not made of pearls, but the gates were made of one pearl. Do you hear that, honey? One pearl per gate. I'm telling you, it was a marvelous place that he lived. The sea was crystal. The Bible lets us know that Jesus is ageless, dateless, deathless, endless, everlasting, immortal, unchanging. He has always been, he is, and he always will be. He's not baby Jesus. I know they said it in the movie, but he's not baby Jesus. He's not old man Jesus. He's not Saint Nick Jesus. He's Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he always will be. And he's in this meeting today. Hallelujah. He's all God. When Jesus came into humanity, he didn't give up some of his godness. He gave up some of his privileges, but he didn't give up his godness. I think we got to get this doctrine right, because there's a lot of false teaching in Christmas churches, in Christian churches, and it revolves around the life of Jesus. But I'm telling you, when Jesus was born, he was 100% God and 100% human. We want to lessen his humanity, because if Jesus was 100% human, then if he had victory in the flesh, we should have victory in the flesh. But we want to remove that out of the gospel so we have an excuse to sin. Well, Jesus didn't say, yeah, but he wasn't all man. No, he was all man. But he was all God. He was born to a woman, had brothers and sisters. He was Jewish. He grew up physically, spiritually, mentally, socially. He learned. He experienced fatigue. He slept. He got hungry. He was thirsty. He rooted for the Steelers. He had a job. He had friends. He was an encourager. He loved children. He celebrated holidays. He went to parties. He loved his mom. He prayed. He worshiped. He obeyed the Heavenly Father. He suffered and he died. He experienced loss. He experienced hunger. He experienced rejection, pain, racism, anguish, attacks, and an untimely, to man's perspective, death. But I'm here to tell you today that that God forfeited the singing angels, forfeited a place without hospitals, a place without funeral homes, a place without sickness, a place without lawyers. He left it all, the praises of the angels, the glories of heaven, to come and experience the depravity of the life that we don't know any different of. That's the incarnation. And I'm going to tell you, friend, there was no gain for him in that existence. It was in that moment that God realized, if he did not provide a human sacrifice, that the justice that that God demanded would never allow mankind to have a relationship with God. And so God, because he loves us too much to leave us where we're at, came and put himself into a human body and suffered and died so that the justice and the punishment that Matt Ward and you deserve does not have to happen, because Jesus already took the punishment for all of us. You say, why does God send somebody to hell? He sends nobody to hell. You send yourself. He's done everything he can to get you to heaven. That includes leaving heaven and coming to the earth. And you know the story, I think. But in case you don't, the Bible says that he was brutally beaten. His back whipped so many times that it ripped open so much that the writers say you could actually see his intestines. They beat his face. I can't imagine how many bones in his face were destroyed. They put a crown of thorns and pounded them into the skull of his head. They put nails through the ulnar nerves of his wrist and ankles, and nailed him to the cross and suspended him naked while the crowd spit on him and ridiculed him. I want to tell you, friend, it was a brutal slaying. That tells me that God hates sin a lot and he loves you even more. If Jesus went to the cross and took that kind of beating, and you think you're going to go to heaven because you're good, you're delusional. The cross proves that good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people go to heaven. He was buried, and he rose again. Listen to these scriptures, because they're important. They're still eternally timeless. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith, that Christ, this is the mystery of our faith, that Christ was revealed in a human body, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, announced by the nations, and was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. Look at what this verse says in the book of Galatians, I think, is next. When the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. I'm telling you today, when Brandon Washburn, who first heard the gospel in that season of his life through the online ministry, began to share it with his family. The reason Brandon Washburn is in heaven today is not because the devil gave up on Brandon. It's because Jesus began to overcome the power that the devil has through death on all of humanity. And if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the replica of divine reality, the beauty of God's holiness, the repository of God's fountain, the ocean of God's fullness, the authority of God's throne, the legacy of God's will, the majesty of God's power, the reality of God's presence, the pity of God's heart, and the power of God's hand. The Bible goes on to say in Philippians chapter 2, where we started, verse 9, therefore, God elevated him in the place of highest honor, and gave him a name above every name. Verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven. Come on, somebody. How about in church? I'd like to see some people praise him in church. On earth and under heaven. Verse 11. Watch this. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Jesus. worthy of praise, worthy of honor. Here's what confounds me today. When God lost, He lost, and every time He loses, it's so that you and I can win. Let's talk about the incarnation and the resurrection, and I'm done. They're bookends. Because of His resurrection, I praise Him. But because of His incarnation, I serve Him. The resurrection is where Jesus faced death. And death stood between God and mankind. And hell said you to God, you have to die. Watch this. And God's response, no. No, I'm God. Y'all get that? Like, all of you look pretty powerful today, but none of you are powerful enough to overcome death. Imagine if Jared came up to me and said, I want all your money, and he took out a rubber band and threatened me with it. Give me all your money or I'm going to smack you with this rubber band. I'm like, no. And that's all hell could do to Jesus. When hell gave its assignment for Jesus to die, it was nothing but a rubber band threat. And Jesus said, no. No, I'm not going to die. What are you, idiot? I'm God. And He overcame death and He resurrected from the grave. How many of you just understand, that's not a mystery to me, why God overcame death? That, to me, that's God just kind of flexing His muscles. Like, death? Pfft, who are you? So to be honest with you, the resurrection does not amaze me as much as the incarnation. I praise Him because He overcame death. But imagine at the incarnation, what separated God from mankind is justice. Justice said, mankind never deserves you. The only way that you can have mankind is you have to become one of them. And God says, okay. Y'all good? Oh, good? Is everybody good? Are you getting this? I get why God said, I'm kicking death out of the way. Because that was His advantage. When God overcame death, that was the why He came. But when He came into the earth to be born, that's the who that He is. I praise Him because He overcame death. But I serve Him because He came into a manger. Sorry, you didn't mean to make you think at Christmas. But if I was God overcoming death, not even a problem. But if I was God and I had to feel anguish and hatred and die for people who turn their back on Him when He doesn't do exactly what they want, I'd say forget it. I'll stay up here in heaven. If I'm God and I know that certain people are going to turn their back on me and get backslidden and lukewarm and they'll become greenhouse Christians, they only serve me when I do what they want, then I'd say, no, thank you. I'll stay up here in heaven and let the angels sing to me. But to think that God knows all of my weaknesses and all of your weaknesses and entered into humanity so that we would not be afraid of Him, but that we would love Him, that tells me that He's not just the God of power, He's the God of love, He's the God of mercy, He's the God of another chance. And if you think you're too far from God, you don't know the character of God. Isn't He a wonderful Jesus? Come on, give him praise. Give him glory. Praise God. Come on, I'm done preaching. Now I'm just going to tell you, I am flabbergasted that God would go from so high and journey so low so that he could touch the heart of Matt Ward. Yeah, let's rejoice for the resurrection, but there'd be no resurrection if there was no incarnation. Now why, how does that apply to us? Come on, musicians. The reason, this is where we bust religion wide open. Well, that is Western religion. This is where it busts wide open. The incarnation of Christ means that he's not interested in getting added to your life. Okay, so years ago, well, 25 years ago, my wife and I got married, and our lives were relatively simple. We had the only concern of our lives really was to make sure we had food to eat, clothes to wear, shoes. Vehicles, transportation, heat, lights. We could pretty much get up and go whenever we wanted. We could come back whenever we wanted. Curfews were gone. I mean, we had what we got married for. It was just a good life. And then we got to the point where we said, you know, we'd like to add to our family. This is all we want to do. We want to keep our life and we want to add a human being to it. So how many years ago? How old is Mariah? She's 20-something? She could be 21, she could be 22. And so, sorry, that's embarrassing. Now we're both in trouble. It's usually just me. Now it's you and me together. I know. And we thought, let's add a life to our life. And when Mariah was born, it was awesome. But I can assure you, we did not add Mariah's life to our life. Our lives changed. Our lives had a whole new experience. Come on, parents. I can see all these parents are going. Say nothing about a second child and a third child and for Michael and Joanne, a fourth child and a fifth child and a sixth child. I wouldn't trade it for $500,000. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. But we were so naive. Now, maybe she wasn't, but I was. But I was so naive. I thought, we will have the same life. We'll just add a life to ours. But we didn't just add a life to ours. Our whole life changed. And I think the reason people are disappointed with Jesus is they add Jesus to their life and their life never changes. I've come to tell you, Jesus didn't come to get added to your life. He's come to give you a brand new life. Isn't that awesome? Come on, isn't that awesome? He didn't come to give you a Sunday habit. He came to change your life. That's the incarnation. When he came 2,000 years ago, he came into Mary's womb and then he took on a body. Today, he wants to incarnate inside of you. I don't think I've yet fully experienced all the fullness of Jesus' life inside of me. And neither of you. But I've committed myself to this. I'm not going to make my aim to be more like Jesus. I'm going to make my aim to have more of Jesus live inside of me. And I know that's kind of semantics, and I'm not trying to be immoral. I'm just saying, if Jesus could give life to a body on this earth, I want him to give life to mine as well. How many of you would testify when Jesus came, he just didn't get added to your schedule. He gave you a whole new life. My life will never be the same. And when you allow him to come into yours, you will never be the same either. I think we ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we bring this service to a conclusion, it would be very appropriate for somebody here today to have that same privileged opportunity that hundreds here have, many this year have. That's to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For without a doubt, mankind is born separate from God. God wants so much to be involved in your life that he not only overcame death, but he actually came into life so he could live in yours. That baptismal that you saw today is a picture of salvation. Those people standing in the water, it's an image of them before Christ came into their life. And when they went down to the water completely, all of their old life goes under that water. The old life is gone. And when they come up, it's a picture of their brand new life. That's exactly what Jesus does when you invite him into your life. He buries the past. He buries who you were. And he brings up a person brand new, ready to fulfill the plan of God and to overcome the deficits of your past. If you're here today and you don't have a time in your history that you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and publicly acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Again, there's no such thing in the Bible as a private faith. There's only a public faith. If you're here today, Jesus died for you publicly. He calls you to him publicly. And today you can start your journey with Jesus Christ like hundreds of people around you have today. You can do it today. Start your journey of faith publicly in this service. This will be the best Christmas you've ever experienced in your faith. If that's you, or maybe you've drifted from God, your faith has gone cold. God has a patience limit. I wouldn't test it anymore if I was you. I would say, I'm going to get right with God today. Slip your hand up nice and high, long enough for me to see you. Then you can put it back down. Say, that's me today. When you pray that prayer, I want to pray with you. Just slip it up high enough for me to see you, and then you can put it back down. Say, this is the day for me. This is my opportunity. This is my moment. This is my hour. All right, God bless you down here. Anybody else? Anybody else in this meeting? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, there are people here that need a brand new life. They need a brand new hope. They need something real. God, they have faith, but they've not made that commitment. I pray that you give them the boldness and the courage to do what they want to do today, and that's to serve you. Lord, I give them to you today. I pray that you give them the courage to do the right thing. In Jesus' name, with your heads continued to be bowed. People around you are praying. You say, today when you pray that prayer, I want to be that other person. Slip your hand up nice and high. Say, when you pray that prayer, I'm not going to miss my moment. God bless you, son. I see you're over here. Is there anyone else? The balcony, on the floor? All right, without anybody leaving the building, out of respect for what God's doing, would you please stand together with me? Would you please stand? This is fantastic. Just before I ask these people that have raised their hand to come, and I pray with them, and you've got time to stay. You've got nowhere to be that's more important than what God's doing here right now. If you're sitting beside somebody or standing beside somebody that you don't know if they're ready, I think it would be vital for you to just turn to them and say, when he prays today, I'd like to join you in this prayer. I'd like for you to join. I'd like to take you and go to that altar and pray with you today. If you would, just look around a little bit for me, if you would. Maybe you brought a visitor, you brought a friend, you've got a family member. This is your opportunity to say to them, look, I'll go with you. You don't have to do this alone. I'll be with you when you go. All right? If you would do that, everybody that raised their hand, quickly come and join me. Stand across this altar. Come and let us pray together, if you would, please. All right? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hello, what's your name, honey? Hi, Kylie. How do you know each other? This is your daughter. Hey, congratulations. Kylie, I'm glad you're here today. I'll tell you what's going to happen, okay, so that you'll know. We're going to pray a simple prayer. You know God loves you a lot. He does. He really does. This is so much bigger than church. This is really, it's Kylie, right? It's really about God getting really involved with Kylie's life. Kylie, you'll never, ever have a reason to have another fear about your future. You know why? Because God's already got it taken care of. Wouldn't it be better tonight when you go to bed and when you wake up tomorrow to know that God's already taken care of everything for the day? See, God's speaking to you right now. I can sense His presence. Okay, I know this is like, don't worry about it. It's kind of makes you, kind of takes your breath away, doesn't it? Yeah. But God wants to do that for you. He's not a God that does things for other people. He's the God that does things for Kylie. And this is your, look, this is, I know your dad came with you. How old are you? You're 13. This is between you and God. I'm just praying with you. I'm just like a guy that God's using. But Kylie, before you were born, God wanted to get involved with your life. And I know that you've probably been through some things in life that have been tough. But that doesn't mean that you can't have a wonderful life. Isn't that awesome? It's not for other people. It's for Kylie. You're thinking about this. I love it. This is like... How else do I want to say it to you? God's love for you compels Him. It just keeps... Sometimes I think that we think that God just kind of keeps an arm's distance away from us because of life. But it's because of life that God says, I want to get as close to you as possible. And you'll never shake Him. Hey, buddy. What's your name? Hi, Ron. I'm Matt. Where do you live? In Bangor. I'm so glad that you're here today. Is this the first time you've been here? I thought you looked familiar to me. That's fantastic. I believe Jesus Christ is going to come do something for you today, Ron, that you'll never, ever regret that you made this decision to serve Him today. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. There's a destiny and a future for you. And whatever sin has done to destroy or hurt or damage you, it won't even compare to what God's love will do to recover and restore and bless you. Amen? You believe that. I can tell you got faith. You just receive it. That's awesome. Let's pray this prayer together. Are you ready? We do it family style around here. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth 2,000 years ago, born to die for me. I've heard the message today, and I take it serious. I believe you did these things with me in mind. I admit I'm a sinner. I was born separate from you. But I believe when you died on the cross and rose from the grave, you made a way for me to have a relationship with you. Today, I confess that you are my Savior. You've washed my sins away, and you give me a brand new life. My faith is greater than ever. My hope is greater than ever. And my relationship with you changes everything. From now on, I'm your child. and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's praise God. Rejoice. Bless you, Kylie. This is the first time you prayed that prayer? Yeah? Is this the first time for you, Rosa? It's the second time for you. Got away from it, and here you are serving God. Well, praise God. God never gives up on us. Amen? Praise God. Ron and Kylie, can we do something for you? Can the church pray for you? Would you mind? They're just going to stay back there. Don't worry. They're not going to invade you, okay? They're not going to rush you, okay? Would you begin to pray for Ron and for Kylie? Would you? I think it'd be good for them to hear you pray for them. Lord, I pray for Kylie today. What a sweet young lady that you're going to get in, you're involved with today. I pray that your hand be upon her. Bless her, I pray, in everything that she's involved with. And God, whatever she has felt like she's lacked, God, you're going to make up the difference for her in Jesus' name. I pray for Ron today. I thank you for his heart for you, becoming a mighty man, a man of God. Hallelujah. Going to reach people, going to be an example, going to be mighty in the faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you touch his life. In Jesus' name, everyone shout a good amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. Let somebody know you love them too. We're going to minister to these precious people. Have a wonderful afternoon. I'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock.